In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. When 19-year-old Olympic gymnast Simone Biles fell from the balance beam last week, I was shocked. Every competition this young woman enters into is nothing less than flawless. I thought she could do no wrong when practicing her craft. But what's also amazing is how she, and all other Olympic athletes like her, how they bounce back after making a mistake. They are trained to do so. I don't know how closely you are watching the Olympic Games this year, but I'm watching enough of them to know the highlights of our great American competitors' accomplishments. Like swimmer Michael Phelps, who was and is the most decorated medalist in history. And just like any other athlete in these games that might experience a gaffe or a hiccup in their respective sport, Michael, Simone, whoever else, are all trained to put the mistake quickly behind them and continue their fierce competition. As someone who knows next to nothing about Olympic training, I can imagine that a trainer would not teach an athlete otherwise. I noticed the same competitive spirit in the women's hurdles. As the fast runners came around the bend in one competition, one of the ladies tripped over one of the hurdles and fell straight to her torso. She immediately picked herself up and continued running despite the fact that she would finish last. The competition is not over until it's over. These athletes don't ever give up. They would not be on the world's athletic stage if they gave up when they fell or tripped. And helping a rival would be simply unheard of. But in a surprising and heartwarming twist, that's what exactly happened last week during the women's 5,000-meter race. U.S. runner Abby DiAgostino was running in a pack with just over 4 laps remaining in the race. She tripped and fell while running, causing her to clip New Zealand runner Nikki Hamblin. Both women hit the ground, with DiAgostino helping Hamblin back up despite a badly injured knee. Then DiAgostino's knee gave out. Hamblin returned the favor and helped DiAgostino back up. Together, they both finished the race. Nikki Hamblin said, "I am so grateful for Abby for doing that for me. That girl is the Olympic spirit." She went on to say, "I had never even met her. Isn't that amazing? It is a moment that I will never forget for the rest of my life." Abby DiAgostino, who gained worldwide approval for her remarkable gesture in helping fallen rival Nikki Hamblin to her feet after both fell on Tuesday, will not receive a medal. She will have to settle for a place in Olympic folklore instead. And all because she disobeyed her coach's instructions. You see, when these remarkable, voracious athletes are competing, they can allow nothing to get in their way that prevents them from winning. If they fall, if they stumble, if they trip, they are told to get back up and compete. DiAgostino's coach, Mark Coogan, said, "She pretty much did the opposite of what I told her to do. Avoiding distraction and focusing on the finish line, that's the rule. Maybe it's not written, but it's the law of the Olympian who is trained and taught to finish, regardless of the circumstances." Last week, Abby DiAgostino broke that law. We have laws for a reason, right? As people living in the United States, we understand law. We are a nation under the rule of law. Within this understanding, I offer a rather different twist today as we approach the gospel passage from Luke. For a moment, let's consider the side of the leader of the synagogue. Because what he offers is a clear and compelling reading of the law. He is, in other words, right. You are not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath. Sabbath is a day for rest and renewal, and the rather negative view we take toward the various restrictions associated with the Sabbath would have been very foreign to the Israelites. Keep in mind that the law, including laws about the Sabbath, were given to the Israelites after their exodus from Egypt. Now you remember Egypt, where the Israelites were slaves and worked whenever their masters commanded them, likely never getting a day off. And so when they received a command to rest, to actually set aside one day of the week to rest their bodies and their livestock and retreat for a time of renewal and prayer, trust me, they heard this only as good news. Think about how hard we work today. And no exception if you are retired. I always hear about folks who are busier than ever in retirement than they were when they worked. But thinking about our work culture, especially considering most households require dual incomes, when are we able to take a break? When are we able to rest for just a moment and ponder our relationship with God? When can we spend quality time with those we love? Or spend some quality time even with ourselves? Sabbath makes good sense. What a valuable thing to lose, or worse, to never have experienced Sabbath. Which is what the leader of the synagogue is worried about. Once we start making exceptions for this reason or that reason, pretty soon no one is really keeping the Sabbath and it's lost its point altogether. And it's not just the Sabbath. The whole law is like that. Keep making exceptions and it's not really a law anymore, is it? It's rather a set of suggestions with little or no power to protect and preserve us. Truth be told, we regularly agree with this synagogue leader. Perhaps not about the Sabbath, but most of us have laws that we think are particularly important, and we get nervous if we see people not respecting them. Maybe it's little things like what time we eat our meals, what time the children's bedtimes are, or refusing to take any phone calls after work, or maybe not letting the dog or cat sleep in the bed. Whatever it is, there are some laws we feel we should just keep, period. And if we don't, who knows what will unravel next? And that's exactly what this well-intentioned, law-abiding leader of the synagogue believes. Just like Coach Coogan told his runner, Abby DiAgostino, keep running no matter what. Whether you fall or trip or otherwise, pull yourself up, stop for no one, win the race. But there is another perspective. Let's turn to the woman in this gospel. She who has viewed the world from waist level for years. She who hasn't been able to look at anyone in the eye for as long as she can remember. She is, I imagine, also a faithful, law-abiding member of this very synagogue. After all, she's right there on that Saturday, in spite of her condition, worshiping the Lord in her community. And who knows, perhaps she also harbored concerns about keeping the Sabbath. Perhaps she was downright conservative in her approach to the law. Yet whatever principles or resolutions she may have entered with, I have to imagine that they all took a back seat to a sense of overwhelming relief and gratitude when Jesus approached and healed her, when he called her a daughter of Abraham and restored her to full health. What were those first breaths of air like? Taken in by lungs no longer cramped from stooping over. And those eyes, whose did they meet first? As she stood up straight for the first time in anyone's memory. Or maybe more importantly, what happened to all those laws and rules and concerns and regulations? Did they fall away as if they were of no importance? Well, no. Jesus' teaching on the law has always been concerned with God's intention about the law. Remember, the law was made not to exclude, but to include. The law was a marker of Jewish identity. Following the law meant that you were Jewish. much like our use of the Book of Common Prayer makes us Episcopalian. We want to use this book. We love what this book says about our faith and relationship to God in Christ. Our liturgy and our Book of Common Prayer are markers of our Episcopal faith and our Christianity. So were laws like the Sabbath to the Israelites and even to modern day Jews. Notice that Jesus doesn't set aside the law, but rather offers a different interpretation of it. It must always bow to mercy, to life, and to freedom. Law helps us live our lives better, but grace creates life itself. Law helps order our world, but grace is what holds the world together. Law pushes us to care for each other, but grace restores us to each other when we've failed in the law. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God, and while the law helps us make sense and get more out of life in the kingdom of the world, it must always bend to the grace that constitutes the abundant life that Jesus proclaims. Far above and beyond all the laws ever received or conceived, the absolute law is love. Love God and love your neighbor. If you ever attend a Rite One service, those words are pretty much right at the beginning of the liturgy. Perhaps by loving God, we do so by loving our neighbor. And so, of course, Jesus heals on the Sabbath. And of course, she gives thanks. And of course, the crowd rejoices. That's what always happens when grace invites us simultaneously to value the law and at times suspend it out of mercy, compassion, and love. So I invite you today to remember three things. God gave law out of love to grant us freedom from the slavery of sin. Second, God forgives us when we fail in the law and invites us to try again. And finally, God insists that the law does not and will not have the last word, for there will always be times when law must bend to compassion and love. The rule and law of the Olympic athlete is not to waver or help anyone else win, but rather win yourself or help your team win. The law of the Olympian is to go for the gold, regardless of fatigue or pain. The law of the Olympian is not to stop and help your rival. Abby D'Agostino suspended that law for a moment in time to help her fellow athlete in need, breaking the rules of competition and doing the opposite of what her coach taught her to do. She suspended the law given her to extend compassion and mercy. And now the news about Aggie D'Agostino and Nikki Hamblin reads, in a woman's 5,000 meter heat, there is a moment that will stand the test of time. May we not be so rigid in our own laws and customs that when acts of kindness and compassion are called for, our Christian lives and witness will stand the test of time too. Amen.